This program is intended for mature audiences. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, bitches. Welcome to the Heart Fried Podcast. That's Michael Combs.
That's Mike Martin.
And that's Keith Clanton.
Hello, everybody. How's your mom and him? Thanks for joining us today. Mike, you want to tell everybody about your weekend?
Oh, we're just going to start off like that?
Hell yeah, we are.
Okay. Well, I actually went to Waverly Sanatorium on, Saturday for one of their little... Well, it wasn't an overnight investigation. It was just kind of one of the over, like, 2-hour night tours or whatever. But, yeah, that's the second time I've been up there. First time I went during the day. And it definitely has a completely different vibe, feel, everything when you're there. And there's no electricity in the place. So you're just walking around.
With pitch a candle. Black.
Yeah.
With your Bath and Body Works candle.
By candlelight. Walking around with a lantern. But yeah, I don't know, like, you know, everybody has their own, like, thoughts on ghosts and
did you see one
and the spookies. I wouldn't say that I saw a ghost. I feel like I saw what they were calling a shadow person.
Oh,
so
that's creepy,
because that was the way that they had it set up was kind of cool. Like, when you, because one of the floors in the sanatorium are kind of notorious for having more activity than others.
Okay.
And they save that floor for the last, just in case, like, you know, because people tend to kind of like want to be there longer.
Yeah, so you can spend more time there.
So they bring like one person, they kind of like send them down the hall like by themselves, and they tell you to like focus on that person so you can get what the outline of them kind of looks like in the dark. So that way your eyes get adjusted to seeing any other kind of movements around them.
Oh.
And that's when I was, you know.
So that makes somebody walk down to the end of the hallway by themselves?
Yeah. And
what if Nurse Ratchet came up and like snatched you?
Well, my friend Ashley was the one that volunteered to do it. And I was like.
Oh, she volunteered.
I was like, well, more power to you, girl. I'm not doing
you
it.
You wouldn't have done it? Is that, I mean, is it a long hallway?
I mean, it's a pretty long hallway.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine if it's in, like, an old, you know, hospital, sanitarium. It would probably be a long hallway. Interesting.
But, yeah, no, it was definitely a cool experience. I love going to stuff like that, so.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
It's not my first rodeo with the spookies.
Ooh. You just jump on.
Yep. Just hopefully they don't jump on me and go home with me.
Amen.
Some attachment.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Absolutely. Well, that's a fucking lie, because I was with you. So go ahead and tell the people what we did.
We went to Friday. We went to the Full Moon Tattoo and Horror Convention here in Nashville, and you got a tattoo.
I did get a tattoo.
Our friend Ronnie got his ears pierced.
I wasn't planning on getting a tattoo, but I was walking around, and there was a lot of female artists, and I prefer to get tattooed by a female artist. And she had this cute little ghost, and I thought, you know what? I'm here. I'm just gonna do it. So I have a little ghost friend on my arm now.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah.
And then looked at a lot of vendors, and then I decided to get in Felissa Rose's line.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fourth in line, and I waited over an hour to meet her because she likes to talk.
Oh, mm-hmm.
She loves to talk.
But she also supplied you.
Oh yeah,
with a little liquid courage.
Yes, we did. I did a shot with Felissa. The four of us that were first in line, she pulled out a bottle of vodka from under the table and poured us all shots. And it wasn't a shot; it was like the equivalent of three shots. So it was a lot of vodka.
A lot. And we all know that Michael only needs one beer to get drunk.
One beer, and he was down for the count.
I was feeling it.
Can I tell you though? So she had somebody record when they took their shot together, and most of the people thought that they were taking a picture, so nobody was really doing anything. But, you know, I was off to the side. We were waiting for Michael. And as they're grouped together and they've got their drinks in the air, Michael looks really uncomfortable at one point, looks over at me like, what the hell am I doing? But it was an actual video. And so yeah. I'm like praying to the gods that she actually posts it, because there's going to be a moment of Michael cheesing and then looking off to the side like he's not really sure what's happening.
I wasn't. I was really confused.
Am so upset that it's not been posted yet. But and she followed us on Instagram.
She did.
So that's cool. Our first celebrity follower.
Yes.
So that was kind of cool.
She let us put our stickers at her booth.
Mm-hmm. She was really nice.
Very sweet.
Yeah. So that was exciting. And then on Saturday, so the Full Moon Tattoo and Horror Festival, they have what they call the Full Moon Cineplex. It is located in the same building as the Lone Wolf Tattoo Parlor. Usually they show old horror movies.
And the Haunted House.
And the Haunted House, yes. What's it called? Slaughterhouse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not open year-round, though, is it? Is it
no.
Just, okay. No. So, yeah, all of that's kind of right there together. But they were doing a viewing of Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. And they also did a viewing of Sleepaway Camp and The Devil's Rejects. And then the people that were in attendance at the con that were in those films kind of, you know, presented the movie. So Lisa Zane came and presented the movie. And she was super sweet, super nice.
Sweet.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So we had a busy weekend between the three of us.
I know. I wasn't part of the festival, but I was still doing something scary.
You were still doing something spooky. That's right. That's good. So, you know, it's our fourth movie, y'all. We're just moving right along.
We're into the 80s, finally.
We're moving right along, yes. And moving into, I don't know about y'all, but like my personal favorite horror year, decade, the 80s. I love the slashers of the 80s.
My favorite decade as well for horror.
I know Mike's gonna say I know, but I love the 90s.
I
love the 90s too, though.
Yeah, I do too, but
I mean, I guess there's no denying the 80s, though.
Yeah,
I mean, that is when everything really started to like kick it into high gear.
Yeah So we are reviewing the fourth film in our Southern Horror series. As you know by now, the full list of this season's movies are posted on Instagram at the Horror Fried Podcast, so be sure to check those out. And you can watch or ride along with us. We'd love to hear your thoughts, too. So send us your messages if you want to. If you don't, that's fine, too. Now come sit a spell. Let's talk about The Evil Dead. Michael.
Yes, sir.
Tell us more about The Evil Dead.
The Evil Dead tells the story of five Michigan State students that go on holiday to a remote cabin in the woods in Tennessee. When they get there.
Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did they indicate east, west?
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Somewhere in Tennessee.
It's all the same.
In the basement of the cabin, they find the Necrocomicon and a recording of passages from that book. And then they decide to play the recording and they summon the evil dead. And lots of
terror ensues.
Yes, terror ensues. This movie stars Bruce Campbell as Ashley Ash Williams. Ellen Sandweiss as Cheryl Williams, Richard D. Mancor as Scott, Betsy Baker as Linda, Teresa Tilly as Shelley. This was written and directed by Sam Raimi, and music by Joe Loduca, released by New Line Cinema in 1981.
Do you think the Tilly girl is related to Jennifer Tilly?
I do not.
I'm curious.
Well, you know Jennifer
Tilly. You sounded
Tilly,
very matter-of-fact when you said
it. Yeah, well,
it.
Jennifer Tilly and Meg Tilly are Asian, and that girl obviously is an Asian.
Okay.
Well, that's fuck my drag.
Well, wishful thinking on my part. So,
I mean, I would love that, but no.
I know. So I think you pretty much summed up like the first act of that movie pretty well. So I would say let's just jump in and talk about that first act. Everything leading up to the demon's awakening. So first of all, let me just make this one comment about the opening, and they're driving down the road and you see the two fishermen and they wave. Y'all, people still do that in the South. I'm not even gonna lie, like when I drive home to Shelbyville, if I'm on the back roads, I'm getting waved at by everybody.
No, I'm sure.
And you just throw up your pointer finger. Yeah. You know, like that's sufficient. Hey, yeah. But I just thought that was funny. Like, I was like, oh my God, yeah, they're in Tennessee.
I was about to say, yeah, that's very Tennessee.
That is so Tennessee.
Driving with your arm sticking out the window and just,
yeah, hey, y'all. Waving at everybody. Yeah. Waving at it. And I remember when I was a kid and like my dad would do that. My mom, not so much, but my dad would do it. And I'd be like, do you know them? And he'd say, no. And it was like, it was like going on a road trip as a kid. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? But for me, it was, do you know them? Do you know them? Do you know them? Do you know them?
So, well, in a small town, they probably did.
He probably did. Honestly, it's a really small town, but we don't want to talk about that. I don't know where this takes place in Tennessee. You already kind of touched on that. We're not sure, but I do know there's like no road. After they get off on the bridge, there's no road. It's just grass. It reminds me of like these old county roads that I've gotten lost on in Missouri. And this is a real, true story. Like, you turn off on County Road 9, and it's not paved. It's just like tire marks and cornfields. Really fucking spooky. And then you end up in somebody's yard, and you're like, what the? Where am I? So,
And they get shot.
I mean, at some point, it literally looked like he was just driving in the woods.
Driving in the woods. There was no trail. I mean, he was just going. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it looks very much like a county road. And then they end up in this fucking house.
This dilapidated cabin.
I was going to say, that's putting it nicely.
I
mean, I bought my money.
I know. At this point, would we call it a house? I don't know. That's a stretch.
Shack?
I mean, if that was my B2B, is that what those are? Airbnb, I'd want my money back.
B2B? That means business to business. You need to put down that White Claw.
My bad.
That's okay. Fill your oats.
I don't know what to say. If it was my Airbnb, I'd want my damn money back. That thing was dilapidated. I did like the swing out front, though. I like how it moved by itself.
Well, that's their first clue that there's something happening.
Something is amiss. Yes.
One thing that I noted is when they open the door, you can see the dust particles flying around, and I'm like, I hope they ain't allergic to dust, because
it looked like smoke. It was so it was so dense.
It was just floating around, having a great time.
Yeah,
it was a little crazy.
Which I mean, I don't know if I don't know if this is the appropriate time to like mention this or not, because you just said something about that was their first sign as to like
something's
weird.
Yeah.
And after watching it, I feel like I picked up on things that I felt like was like a first sign.
Oh, okay.
And it actually like happened within those first like few minutes of them getting to the cabin.
Yeah.
Because there's a part where I believe it's Cheryl?
The sister.
Yes.
Okay.
Where she makes a comment about something about like the trees being too close to the cabin or whatever.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I thought that was kind of weird because...
A weird foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's really...
Which, I didn't think about that. Because, for people listening, this is my first time seeing this. So that...
Had you ever heard of that infamous scene that we'll be talking about later?
No. Yeah, okay. No. I literally went into this movie... I mean, I guess could we just talk about like that? Like, do you want me to just tell you what I was thinking going into this movie?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because I went into this movie thinking something completely different than what I got.
Oh.
Like, I thought this was just going to be like a legit, like a zombie movie. Oh. And it was definitely not.
Yeah. Well, it's not a zombie movie. It's demonic possession.
Yes. Right. And see, I've gone all these years being lied to.
Well, thinking it was one thing and it wasn't.
Yeah, I definitely didn't.
No, they're very zombie-like.
Right.
But they're definitely not.
But they're different. So, you know, we can just go in, we'll go in a little further. Because I feel like aside from that, there's not much. I mean, it's just them getting, like, acclimated to their, their little
surroundings.
Thing. The only thing that I was going to mention about that opening before we jump into, the chaos is when Cheryl is... Drawing, and she
Poor
draws
Cheryl,
the book.
She just wanted to doodle.
I really loved the makeup on her hand.
Yeah.
Like, she's drawing, everything looks normal, but then when it goes back down, like, her hand's all veiny and kind of black and whitish. Like
it's possessed.
I really liked that makeup job. I thought it was really good. So speaking of Cheryl, unfortunately for her, she becomes the demon's first victim after she's raped by a tree branch in the woods.
Yes.
So... She soon unleashes terror on her brother and their friends, and then she stabs Linda in the ankle with a sharpened number 2 pencil is what it looked like. I'm assuming that's what she was using to draw.
Yeah.
And then after securing Cheryl's possessed body in the cellar, which she remains for the majority of the movie, Linda is put down to rest while Shelley, too, succumbs to the demon's devilish rage. So there's a lot that goes on there as soon as Cheryl becomes possessed.
Yes.
I sometimes wish that, like, people could actually watch our reactions watching these movies. Because when I tell you, if you could have seen my face.
Were you shook?
When she, like, when that tree branch, Victor. Like, boop. I was like,
that wasn't gentle at all.
And I was
and it was thorny too.
Yeah. And she had her underwear on, so it went right through her underwear.
That thing ripped her robe off and everything.
I was just like, oh.
We're going there.
It just seemed like one thing after the other. I was like, oh. So it was just constant.
I was, for an early 80s movie, I was like, oh, this is like really going there. Like, I don't know. No, for me, this is not a first time watch, but it has been, oh my God, probably 10, 12 years since I've seen it. And I will tell you, watching it this time, I don't remember it being that good the first time I watched it. So I was, and I was pleasantly surprised watching this time. I was like, oh, yeah. This isn't quite what I remember. But I mean, again, it was a long time ago. But,
I mean, I think people that haven't even seen The Evil Dead, except for Mike, have heard or know about the tree rape scene. Because it's like the big, I mean, it's unsettling. And there's no other movie I know of that has a tree rape scene in it.
Yeah. Well, I remember it, but I don't remember it being like that graphic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, even when I was younger, I mean, I guess the only thing I would have ever seen it on would have been something like Sci-Fi, which would have been cut all everything out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Poor Cheryl. God, she got through the ringer. It attached to her so quickly.
Why do you think that is?
Sensitive, maybe? You're the ghost expert,
right? Oh.
I'm thinking she's probably just sensitive to it.
I mean, that is usually the case with stuff like that. Usually the people that are more sensitive tend to have more, like, extreme reactions to things like that. But, I mean, I guess, in her case, maybe. Because if you think about the, you know, when they're listening to the tape and all that stuff, and she's like freaking out.
Turn it off.
And she does reach over and turn it off. Talks about it making her feel whatever, and then obviously they just keep it up. But
maybe she's just very intuitive.
Yeah,
I don't think that she really even knew anything. I think she was just, she's like, I don't know, it's making me feel weird. And of course, the whole thing with the drawing and all that. So she probably had some little preconceived notions that something's happening to me.
I will say, so I have two favorite scenes that I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
But one of them is the POV from the cellar. So once they've got her in the cellar and she's locked up, there's a scene that's a POV of, like, it's her POV, and you see them kind of scurrying about the living quarters. But I really liked that scene. I thought it was super well done. There's a lot of really great camera work in this movie, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Like, very creative things I wouldn't have thought about. I mean, this is why I don't direct movies, but just...
Well, I feel like it was also stuff that you hadn't really seen yet. I mean, it was 1981.
Yeah.
So, because I actually really enjoyed just the opening scene, just going over, like, the water, and it was supposed to be, like, you hear, like, the monster, like, grumbling and stuff. Which, I mean, kind of reminded me a little bit of The Lost Boys when the vampires fly and you don't see them, you just see them, the float.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about this movie is the inventive way that Sam manipulates the camera, because it's something I'd never seen done before, and it's always stuck with me.
Yeah.
It gets even better in Evil Dead 2.
Does it?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen The Evil Dead 2.
Oh. It's a favorite.
But it's obviously on my list now. So then Shelley, of course, becomes possessed. And I wrote in my notes, Ash's real foe, a bookshelf. Because, y'all, he, like, gets thrown into a bookshelf, like, three times in this movie.
And gets trapped. Him.
And I'm like, how many goddamn bookshelves are in this tiny little cabin?
Yeah. There's a lot of book in this dilapidated cabin.
A lot of bookshelves. Some studious motherfucker lived there
when
before,
you're a poor
for sure.
hill person, you like books.
I guess. I mean, it was crazy.
And it must have been a real heavy one, because when it fell on him, he was struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, it's funny, I'm glad you brought that up, because when he gets pushed into it, I mean, it shatters almost, and then what's left of it comes down on him, and he can't move, and I'm like, I'm confused.
Yeah.
But
movie magic.
Moving along from that, So Shelly becomes possessed, and after mutilating and burying Shelly's body, Ash and Scotty return to check on Linda, who, surprise, surprise, is possessed too. Scotty makes a run for it, but again, the trees, there were no match for him, and he returns to the cabin to basically bleed out, I think.
Yeah.
So I got to talk about Shelly for a minute after she turns. I really liked the part where the voices are talking to Scott while he's like mutilating her, because he does. He chops her up into a bunch of little pieces, and they're saying, "You love her. You love her."
Yeah.
Trying to keep him from doing it, but he, you know, he's crazy at this point and does it. Milk.
Mm.
I don't know. Obviously, these are all practical effects. This is 1981. But whatever leaked out of her body just looked like milk.
Funny story, it was.
Did you look it up?
Yeah.
So tell what?
They just it's used... supposed to be, I think they said it was like 2% milk is what I read.
Whatever cheap they could find.
Yeah.
Well, I think cottage cheese at one point.
But it was milk.
I wonder why they used milk. I just thought it was weird because obviously there's all this blood. It is very over the top with the blood, which is fine. That doesn't bother me. But then I saw the milk and I thought, what?
I think to them it's because they're possessed by demons. So physiology almost changes. Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of like when you have like a demon, it's like they foam.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost kind of like a little bit like that.
Well, then I don't think it's with Shelly, I think it's a little bit later on in the movie, but at one point, it looks like cream corn.
Oh, I thought it was cottage cheese.
Oozing out. It looked like cream corn.
Oh, and...
They took everything in the pantry and said, we're going to use this.
Yeah. When you have $375,000, you got to do what you can.
Oatmeal, mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Corn. Yeah. Probably some fried okra. I mean, it was like...
Chocolate syrup.
Everything in the pantry.
Yeah.
So, you know, then there's... Two, and then fucking Linda
turns into like a possessed Linda doll.
Was creepy.
She was the worst.
Laughing.
It was the laugh. It was the laugh for me.
Yeah. Sitting Indian style and just kind of rocking back and forth and laughing. Like it was. She was easily the creepiest one out of all of them, I think. Cheryl was like the fucking grand high witch of them, but like.
I just.
And then Ash starts beating her. Punching her in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? And then she comes to for a little bit.
And then Cheryl comes to as well. Like they're trying to manipulate Ash.
Oh, does Cheryl come out?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I remember that. I definitely remember.
You don't see her, but you can hear her talking in the cellar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I definitely remember Linda coming back. And I even wrote in my notes, okay, maybe she's really back. Like, because I couldn't remember.
Which, I mean, that's. I guess.
What a demon would
do. The possession and the deep demonic possession stuff. I mean, think about The Exorcist. That's what she does too. When she tries to get those, like, pull on the sympathy, you know, of her mom and stuff. Like, they always kind of come to for that brief little moment and then reel you in and then.
Yeah. What do you think is so special about Ash that he does not get possessed?
He's just dumb.
You thought Bruce Campbell was hot?
He looks good in that movie.
You know, I was going to ask if you guys found him attractive.
Oh, yeah.
I think still Bruce Campbell's a very attractive man.
Yeah.
I thought Scotty was cuter.
He is cute, too.
Yeah.
I did, like, I actually put down in my notes, Ash was kind of a babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when he's, like, dirty and, like, all sweaty.
Well, and Ash was, like, the sweet one.
He was
sensitive
a nice guy.
One, whereas Scotty was like...
That's true. I mean, he got his little girlfriend a necklace. Like, Ash was a good guy. But what do you think? I mean, why not Ash and everybody else? Like, what do you think had anything to do with him being just, like, mentally a stronger character? Or I'm just curious.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think he's not very bright, and so that's why he wasn't easily taken over. But that's just my...
Well, that don't make no kind of sense.
Really? You don't think so? I do.
To me.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, did you... Well, I don't know, because what you just said made it sound like Ash was an idiot.
He's a little bit of an idiot.
I didn't get that vibe from him.
I was trying to think. I'm, like, sitting here playing the movie in my head, and I'm just like, I mean, was there a part that, like, made him... Well, okay, I guess the question could be directed to you then. So, like, what, like, made you feel like he was a little, like... not as whatever is.
What so made you think I feel his like cornbread wasn't Scott cooked in the middle?
Was yeah. like with it. He's like, kill him, beat him up, chop him up, and Ash doesn't know what the hell to do. He can't even get out from under a bookcase.
Okay, but do you think...
It doesn't make him a bad character. I yeah. love Ash.
Well, here's my argument. You talk about Scott not caring and just going for it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's because he acted on impulse where Ash was like, okay, hang on a minute.
More emotional about it?
I don't know.
Well, because I was trying to think if there was... Because, you know, sometimes in these kind of movies that deal with this stuff, it's almost like sometimes like the pure ones
yeah.
are kind of like... off limits, whereas the ones that are a bit more like Scotty and
but see if, with Shelley, that case I would say Cheryl
would have been the survivor
yes
right
because that's she true. Was the purest
that's true yeah I don't know maybe he was a big horn dog back home in Michigan and that's why they didn't pick him because his body was more corrupt I don't know. But Scotty seemed like a horn dog too
oh for sure
but anyway so our story's climax plays out much like a demented carnival funhouse, except only the demons are the ones having fun. So you've got the windows, the shutters are swinging back and forth, the pipes burst and spew blood all over the place, and the mirrors create this illusion of water, which I thought was really interesting. Cheryl, of course, breaks free. Scotty reanimates, which I'm sure we all figured that was going to happen at some point. And then Ash fights for his laugh. Ash fights for his laugh in one epic showdown. The climax of this movie is fucking crazy.
I love the stop motion animation.
Oh, man. I do too.
I
actually did too, and I put something about that in my notes. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Which also read up on that. Apparently that took a very long time for them to like exact how they wanted it to look on screen.
I believe that. That shit takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, like, what they did, they were, like, pretty much, like, decomposing a body.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
So two bodies. There was a lot of little stuff. So my second favorite scene, probably my favorite scene in the whole movie because it's just one shot, is when Ash is pulling Linda's body away.
And it's the floor shot.
It's just a floor shot. You see Scotty lying there, and he's pulling her away. And it's just one kind of long shot. I don't know why, but it's just really well done.
Was Cheryl in the background watching? I feel like she was.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really good scene. And so Ash gets his leg clawed up.
Oh.
By, yeah. Which one was it? It's one of the girls.
It's Linda.
It's Linda. Gets his leg cut up by her, you know, rickety fingernails. But then he's able to run. And I wrote my notes. The continuity in this movie, I don't know about, because that's one thing. He's running around this house trying to shut the door so she can't get back in. Mind you, all the windows are busted out, so she could easily just walk right on in. But he's running. And I was like, there's no way in hell he'd be able to run like that.
No.
Also, when he's outside and he's fighting, I can't remember which one it was, but he's got the blood all over his face.
I know where you're going with that.
And he gets up. It's gone. It's
clean. When he gets back in the house, it's like...
He's got little spots on his shirt, but like his face, it's clean. And I was like...
He found some leaves and wiped it off.
No, he didn't have time. He was trying to get back in the house. But yeah, there's another scene where he slams the door and there's a close-up of his face. I thought that was really well done.
Well, what about
that,
the one shot where the blood, like, comes over the screen?
Oh, yeah.
Over the lens or whatever?
Oh.
I thought that was
kind of
cool.
I don't even know if I remember that.
I really love the scene where the body falls on him and then the blood starts spurting out. Is that outside after he cuts Linda's head off?
I'm going to be honest. There's so much blood in this movie, it's really hard to keep up with.
There is a lot of blood.
Well, and it's like you have all these death scenes, quote unquote, because they all keep reanimating. So it's like you're getting shot, you're getting stabbed, you're getting... I mean, it's just
chopped
a lot.
Up, chopped up.
And they still keep popping up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice when they go into... I call it a basement. I'm going to call it a root cellar.
It's a cellar.
Yes.
And there is a partial The Hills Have
yes.
Eyes.
Yes. I put that in my notes.
Did you guys know, and I can't remember if it's a movie or a poster, but when Wes Craven did A Nightmare on Elm Street, he did a little homage to The Evil Dead as well, because Sam Raimi did an homage to him in that this movie.
Not. Wes Craven was a class act, so that doesn't surprise me. That's cool, though. Yeah, I did see the poster. I thought that was kind of funny, too. I was like, so who hung the poster up? The Necro... What do you call it?
Necrocomicon?
Yeah, Necrocomicon.
Well, in this book, they actually call it the Naturum Demento, but it's technically the Necrocomicon.
Got it.
Which you find out in the second movie.
Yeah. Well, I will say I've been watching Ash versus the Evil Dead, and as soon as this movie starts, and, you know, Mike was talking about how, like, the cameras, like, going over fields and water and stuff, like, to represent the evil, they still, like, they do that in the show as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun to, like, see, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they, like, kept that trend going. Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
I also love, and I don't know if you get, Mike might know this because you have the trivia this week, but this movie did struggle for a while financially, and then Stephen King had seen it.
Yeah, and once
and gave it rave reviews, and that's the reason New Line Cinema picked it up and distributed it.
Talk about the Stephen King. Power of Stephen King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I actually did read up a little bit on that kind of thing, because they talked a lot about how it was, like, big over in, like, I think it was Germany.
In the UK. Yeah. Over there. Yeah, Europe.
Which, I mean, over there, they tend to have, like, more extreme movies than, like, we would have, especially probably back then. But, and there was something to do with that Hills Have Eyes poster, too, that I read about, that there was apparently some homage to Jaws. There's, like, a poster in the movie Jaws that's actually, I believe, a Wes Craven movie.
Oh, okay. That, I believe it.
That mm-hmm. Everything was, like, all kind of, like, connected somehow.
Yeah.
But
a lot of times all these guys work together at some point on something, so this is probably their way of, like, you know, paying homage to, like, a friend or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I know, like, that opening scene where they're just going over the water and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that was Bruce and Sam together on, like, 2x4s, and Bruce was the one, like, pushing it, like,
really?
Over the water and stuff.
Yeah, so that really was kinda interesting reading about how they shot this, because they had no budget. They didn't have a Steadicam. They didn't have anything like that. They just had to make shit up.
Y'all, all my trivia is just coming out just like normal right now.
Honey, but like,
okay, I watch this movie once a year, so I have seen it a lot. I know a lot of history about this movie.
Yeah, like, because I'd read something, which, I mean, maybe you can confirm if you're, like, more, you know, familiar with the info, but because I did see something that said, like, I guess Bruce Campbell, like, basically put his, like, family home up for collateral to essentially fund the movie for Sam.
I have heard that.
And that's why, like, Sam gave him co-producer or whatever. Yeah.
Oh.
Like,
Bruce was there
on
through
it.
The whole shoot.
Yeah, because they were friends when they were kids,
I think they went to school together in Michigan.
Yeah, because it said that they, like, they used to work a lot together. They used to do just, like, fun films together as kids and stuff. And Bruce was always the one that the girls wanted to look at, so that's why they made him.
Totally get that.
That's why they made him the actor.
I was gonna say shocker.
Why they made him the actor and Sam behind the camera.
Well, this also has. I hope I'm not stealing all your trivia, Mike. This does have a tie to Xena Warrior Princess, because Robert Taper was one of the producers on this movie, who is married to Lucy Lawless in real life, and they are all friends. Lucy Lawless, Robert Taper, Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi, and then Sam's brother, Ted, was on Xena Warrior Princess.
And Lucy Lawless is on Ash versus Evil Dead.
And Robert Taper produces that as well.
Oh my God! 7 degrees of Lucy Lawless.
I love Lucy Lawless.
I do too. So one last thing I wanted to say. I really think that the end of this movie is very effective. Like, the final shot is very effective. I really like how it ended. And really, I didn't write much on my notes about the ending, except for I said, Ash, you're going to need a therapist, a doctor, and a really long shower.
For sure. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that final scene too. But that was kind of one of the takeaways for me. I loved that we never Well, I mean, because you don't really see the demon per se.
No, you see it in...
You see it
form,
in,
but,
in yeah. their bodies. Yeah. But like, so anytime you see the demon, it's always from the demon's perspective, essentially.
Yeah.
So like, even that final scene is no different.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're big horror nerds, movie buffs, and so we always have to stick around through the credits. Did you guys notice at the end they had a whole list of actors, and the title for it said Fake Shimps? Did any of you guys notice that?
No.
You guys didn't notice any of that?
No, I didn't notice that.
Sam Raimi's a big Three Stooges fan, and that is a playback to the Three Stooges. So any time someone was a stand-in in this movie, they got a Fake Shimp credit. I also think this movie has some slapstick to it. It's not as funny or as obvious as Evil Dead 2, but there's definitely some slapstick in this.
Oh, well, after The Town That Dreaded Sundown, I was really glad to see a movie that didn't really have that.
Yeah.
So,
amen. Amen.
Although, fun little fact, apparently, like, in the various, like, premieres and things like that, I guess, like, there was blood drives that were, like, given out pins okay. that said, I bled I for notice. The Evil Dead.
Oh, I love
oh,
that.
Oh, cool.
And, like,
I'd like to find one of those pins.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Like, I was reading up on all kinds of shit, y'all, so.
Oh, I could get one of those pins and put it on my denim jacket, but just forget.
Yeah,
I
just never wear it.
Put pins on my denim jacket.
Yes, you do. You have a whole manila envelope of pins.
And a jacket that he wears all the time.
With no pins on. Did you guys know this is one of the first Video Nasties? Are you guys familiar with Video Nasties?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
I did know that. It was considered one of the first Video Nasties. Yeah, I read that.
Are you familiar mm-hmm. with Video Nasties? Margaret Thatcher in the UK, and they were fighting all these bad movies that were corrupting people. And,
censorship.
Yes. And if you were a bad movie, you were called a Video Nasty, and you're put on a list and basically banned.
Oh.
And people would that owned video rental stores would have like a back room full of these movies, and they would get in so much trouble if they got caught having these movies. But there was a big bootleg movement in the UK. People wanted these Video Nasties, and this was one.
So it was like almost like porn.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, these days you talk about Video Nasties, we're talking about, like, you know, Bareback Mountain or something.
Forrest Humps.
Yes.
No, but I did see where, apparently, was it called, like, the Book of...
The Book of the Dead.
The Book of the Dead.
Yes.
And then I guess they thought that, like, younger generations would be turned off by it being... thinking that it was, like, a literary thing, and they didn't want it to call it that.
The Evil Dead.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. They didn't want to call... Oh, that's interesting.
The Necrocomicon is technically the Book of the Dead, so that's where they got
the Necrocomicon.
Necrocomicon.
Yes. Anyway, you're an adult. You can make your own decisions. Before we move on to our final thoughts, it's time for our absolute favorite segment that we like to call Horror Fried Theater. We do have a very special guest with us. Mike's better half with the nice ass. His name's Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, how are you?
Oh my God. If you're going to talk like that the whole time, I'm not going to be able to keep a straight face.
Okay, don't look at me.
Okay, Christina.
Mike chose our scene this week. So set the scene for us, Mikey.
All right. So I don't have, like, you know, I'm not as professional as Michael was last week on his his script, but it is essentially the scene where they go down in the cellar, they get the tape recorder or the tape, and they bring it back up. This is gonna be the whole scene with the voice.
Oh my God.
With the voice?
Yeah, on,
like,
the tape.
Oh, is that the demon voice?
It's not the demon.
It's Nobi.
Yeah, it's
Professor
Nobi.
Nobi's.
Oh,
so it's the professor's voice.
Got it.
But then, obviously, by the end of it, it's not.
Yes.
So.
Oh my God.
I'm just gonna go ahead
and to see who I'm playing.
Do you want me to tell you who you're playing before I show it to you? Okay. So, just to preface this, because Michael Ryan saved your life.
Oh, thank
this
you,
week. Who because was I, supposed to be? I had you being the voice.
Oh, thank you for saving me. Oh my god.
That would have been real interesting.
Well, because I know that sometimes like on these podcasts, like Michael has that very like narrator type
he does.
Voice. So I was like, oh, that would be kind of perfect. But he saved you because you do have the most if that was the case. But anyway, so here's these. But anyway, so yeah, it's Ash is going to be played by you, Michael.
Okay.
The voice is going to be Ryan. I am going to be Scott.
And you're Cheryl.
Keith is
and
Cheryl.
I, once again, get the lady.
Perfect.
That is okay with me.
Well, so,
I'm an independent woman, y'all.
So remember how I told you I feel like I'm sensing a pattern here?
Yeah. What's the pattern? Me being a woman?
Yeah, you being,
really good at being a woman.
You being the over-dramatic and over the top.
Oh, that's so unlike me.
Are you two sharing a script or am I sharing a script?
Oh. Yeah, we'll share.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have, I don't have as many lines as he does, so I'll just pass
and
it
then
off.
Who's narrating the...
I'll do the stuff. Okay, I'll do the stuff in between.
All right.
All right. So we'll just start. Ashley is rewinding the tape recorder, and once this is done, he turns it on. The voice of an old man is heard. Ash turns to the others who are talking.
Shh, listen to this.
My name is Julian Nobi. I'm a professor of ancient Egyptian mythology in Dexter University, ancient history department.
This is the tape I found downstairs.
I am recording this entry from a small cabin in the southern mountains of Tennessee. Here I am staying with my wife for a few weeks. I thought I may continue my research undisturbed. Since May, a group of associate professors and myself have been excavating the ruins of a cavern dar. I believe I have made an important find in that area, and thus the reason for this log. With it, I can keep the accurate record of translations from my latest find. The first of six, the others still lost. Volumes of ancient Sumerian burial practices and rites. Basically, it's a book of do's and don'ts dealing with a deceased entitled Naturon Demanto. roughly translated, Book of the Dead. It is bound by human flesh and inked with blood of the deceased.
Jeez, I'd hate to find out what they use for pens.
This particular volume deals with demons and demon resurrections. These are also the Cantardi family, meaning these those forces believed in inhabitants the jungles of woods of man's domain. The first few pages that I have translated warn that these demons are dangerous, ever-present, and they exist primarily through this book. As legend has it, only the sacred high priest of the Kandar tribe can possess these books. For they alone can properly control and resurrect demons. It is only through the act of reciting and resurrecting passage that these demons would be able to possess the living. For many years, it was thought that this was legend.
Cheryl turns off the machine at this point. Hey, what'd you do that for? It was just getting good.
I just don't want to hear it anymore, that's all.
Cheryl's scared. Cheryl's scared.
Scott, leave her alone, will you?
Jesus Christ. He moves to the tape recorder and fast forwards it a bit. Then stops. She's acting like a big... She's acting like a baby. It's no big deal. He turns the machine on. The passage continues.
Oh, Kendra Mr. Hope and Hazatar.
As the tape plays, all natural sounds from the forest die out and the autumn colors in the trees fade to a gloomy gray.
Tenderman Mr. Melvin sober.
All eyes except Cheryl's turn to the window. Outside, clouds roll in from the east, thunder booms in the distance, and as the wind picks up, it begins to rain.
Kanda.
A section of ground deep within the woods begins to crack and opens. Smoke seeps out from within as if some evil force was now being unleashed.
Shut it off, Kanda.
The winds howl and blackbirds fly from their nests, screaming.
Shut it off!
Ashley, hearing her... I say, I don't like that they have Ashley. Ash, hearing her for the first time, turns from the window to Cheryl. She's overwhelmed with fear.
Kanda!
A bolt of lightning strikes very near, and its thunder crash is deafening. Cheryl can no longer control herself. She screams and covers her ears. The window shatters, much like the glasses in this room. The window shatters when a branch from a nearby tree tears through it. Ash runs to the tape recorder and turns it off. Cheryl's crying now and runs to her room. Ash turns to Scott.
Scott, you knew not to play it. I mean, you knew it was upsetting her. You just don't know when you're carrying something too far.
Oh, come on. Big deal. It's just a joke. Shit. Scott and Shelly head for their bedroom. Scott mumbles to himself along the way. You'd think she's 3 years old or something. Scott slams the door behind him. Ash sighs. He moves to the broken window and reaches through it to close the outside shutters. End scene.
Kanda!
You had a lot of lines.
I did.
I feel like, thank you for taking
my time. Oh, my very God. Welcome.
Oh, that got killed that. Me.
I don't know what that was. He was doing like the...
The gibberish?
The gibberish. Yeah,
I was upset that I didn't have as many lines, so that's why I ad-libbed the crying at the end. like a true professional.
You burst my eardrums in that one scene.
Oh. Shut up! It said she went uncontrolled.
Taken them off.
I mean, I was just doing what the script said. I'm an actress. That's what I do.
You did a great job.
That was great.
Thank you,
that
Ryan.
That was fun. Yes, Ryan.
Come back anytime.
Us. Okay, bye.
All right, guys. It's time for our final thoughts here at Horrified. We rate our films using the heat scale of Nashville Hot Chicken. We'll be using these temperatures on a scale of 1 to 5. No spice, mild, medium, hot, and Nashville hot. Michael, what do you give The Evil Dead?
I give The Evil Dead a hot. I love this movie. I think it's very inventive. I think they did an amazing job with a very, very low budget. And, I mean, there's camera work I've never seen in a movie before. And it made me really love horror movies, honestly.
Is the movie that did it for you?
One of them, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that and Evil Dead 2.
Wow. Okay. Mike?
I'm a hot too for me. That. Yeah, like I know. I feel like I'm the one that's always like hard to please out of the group. Yeah. But no, like maybe it's because it's, you know, it is kind of dipping into the 80s thing, so like you already have that vibe between the characters as far as the way they look, the way they dress, the way they act, talk, whatever. But then I mean, like you were talking about, I have an immense appreciation for all the cinematography stuff and how things are shot and all of that that goes into it. We just won't talk about the continuity, but that's fine. But yeah, so it's a hot for me.
We're unanimous again.
Are we?
Yeah, I picked that. Hot too. I mean, I've seen this before, like I said, but it's been years and I enjoyed it so much more than I remember. So, I mean, that alone... I was like, okay, I mean, I got to give this movie some solid points. But aside from the continuity being a little bit of an issue, I can't find much wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like it. It's well acted. And even though it's obviously very over the top, like the gore, the effects are over the top, but I don't ever think the acting is super over the top. And when it is, it's supposed to be. Like, it's not comical or, you know what I mean? It's I liked it a lot.
I love that, especially since you said you didn't really like it.
I know. Shocker. I'm a fan.
That's why you need to revisit movies sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hot.
That's really hot.
Paris Hill.
I do think, like, what is the allure to these movies, like, where it's always, like, got these, like, young college kids, high school kids, whatever. Like, what is the allure with that?
People want to see young kids that do stupid stuff. Get killed. I don't know. Yeah, people want to see attractive people.
And I say that, like, because I totally fall into that. Like, yeah. Some of those are, like, my favorite movies from the 90s. Yeah. So.
I will say I appreciate how this movie's nudity was, like.
Minimal.
Very minimal. There wasn't a lot of your typical, like, sex and party. Like,
it made sense for this, what where it was.
Yeah, it almost felt like this was like like a pretty decent group of kids that are literally just going to like relax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you didn't feel like they were going to this cabin to just fuck all weekend.
Right.
Which
they were gonna go have a good time.
Yeah, I mean they weren't even like out there to like get wasted and trash. No. They literally sat down to have a dinner.
Yeah.
And basically us next weekend.
Yes. So. Let me go to the mountains.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Thanks so much for joining us. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, and rate the Horror Fried Podcast on your favorite streaming service. Links are available on our Instagram page. Next time, we'll be diving into what movie?
The Beyond.
The Beyond. The first watch for me.
To infinity.
An Italian-based Southern movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are there subtitles?
I don't remember.
Or is it dubbed? I love a bad dubbed movie.
I think it's dubbed. I love it. Like Godzilla, yeah. I think it's dubbed.
Okay. Well, we'll find out soon and we'll report back to y'all. So now it's time to swap spit and hit the road. Until next time, remember, there's not a pit too crooked that a lid won't fit. Bye.
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 You're not going to leave me here, are you? Are you, ass?